Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
Oh. Oh my.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, April 7th. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning and hopefully a pollen-free Sunday morning to you folks in Cartersville.
We all know it'd be pollen-free, but
yeah, well, I'm hoping.
Maybe less pollen. Shout out to everybody up at home of the Purple Hurricanes.
Man, that song, it always reminds me of a roller coaster. It builds up, and then when you get to the top where he starts at, dun 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 dun, you know, you're coming over top to get ready to come down. That song always reminds me of that. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's a birthday wish going out
to.
I want to make sure I get this one right.
Okay,
here.
Let's do that.
Mackenzie Scott. Now, you got to wonder what Mackenzie Scott, how she's enjoying her day. You're looking at me funny, and I can understand a lot of people. Okay. Who the hell is Mackenzie Scott?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you know her by her other name, Mackenzie Bezos, and she's now the richest woman, I think, other than maybe somebody of the royal family. It's Jeff Bezos' ex.
Okay.
Would she get like a couple hundred billion?
Something like that. How about that?
She can afford a good present today. John Oates, as in Hall and Oates, who's suing Daryl Hall.
Yeah, they're not getting along at all.
No, man. A couple other folks that were celebrating the same birthday, David Frost, who Johnny Carson hated, and Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's move on. Because I don't want to.
Thank you, Brian Gumbel.
I don't want to screw.
Thank you, Brian Gumbel.
I don't want to screw around and go down a rabbit hole. And you're right, and it's truer than you would believe. I have to mention something before we do this. And Noelle mentioned something last week, and I had forgotten about it. And then I told her to check it out this week. I went through this whole show. I went through casting call. And I didn't ask her if she had a chance to see my second and final appearance on BMF. Because I ain't watching. I mean, it's not that I don't like the show. I just don't like looking at myself. So, A, did I show up or did I get cut out?
You got cut.
I got cut? So I'm not in it at all?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Because I watched, and then it got to the credits, and I was like, that was a good episode. And then I went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was supposed to see the mayor. But they didn't do anything. They didn't do a lot in Detroit with the mayor. So I don't know if they're just going to push it or, you know, whatever was going on with that storyline. But they didn't revisit that in
episode 6. I don't know what happened. But ours was an event. and the guy who was the cop and oh, what's her name?
Oh, so you were supposed
I was
to be
at that
at
scene.
The, okay.
I was at that party.
Okay, they cut that scene. Yep.
They did?
They cut that scene down. So they only did Henry and the cops.
Right,
slash,
right.
Yeah. So they didn't.
And
so,
then he didn't walk to the bar after they got into a beef?
Nope, they just cut it right there.
Okay.
That's what it was. Okay, it was so that's where I was supposed to see you. Okay.
Yep, that's where I was supposed to be. I still got paid.
Which is the most important part.
If you didn't see my name in the credits, then I won't get residuals for that particular episode. Oh, well. Such is life.
Mm.
Thank you, Tyler. What do we think of what we are watching right now? And again, we're going to get to back to the tributes for the home run. Ralph Garr is going to join us in a few minutes. And again, teammate of Hank. There that night, obviously. And just,
on his way to having, I think, one of the best seasons of his career, maybe the best. He ended up being the batting champion that year. Ralph Garr did.
My question is, well, I got a couple questions for Ralph. And again, I just so look forward to talking to this guy. Noel, did you know that Ralph Garr had a nickname?
Yes.
I don't know that our audience knows that. And he had one of the greatest nicknames of all.
It's a cool nickname. I can't think of right off the top of my
head. I'm going to tell everybody because people need to know. He was the Roadrunner.
Yep, the Roadrunner.
And the team went through some special things to get a license to use that sound effect.
Beep, beep.
When he would get on first base, knowing that he's probably going to steal.
I didn't know. See, that part I didn't know.
Yep. All the cartoons?
Yep. So, yeah.
They had to reach out to Warner Brothers?
They had to get with Warner Brothers for the rights to use that sound effect when he would get to first base.
Because it was broadcast on TV, and so, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, I can understand that.
So you would hear that. Yeah, man.
That's nice. I didn't know that, so there you go.
You know what? Ted Turner hadn't bought the team.
No, he wasn't there yet.
But he was there. Anybody would look, there was a billboard on the center field wall at Old Fulton County Stadium during the time of Hank Aaron Chase, and every time he hit a home run, they would change the number on that.
Yeah, okay, I remember that. He owned billboards then. That's right.
He was already in the stadium.
Okay.
It was a Turner billboard.
I had forgotten about that. They're still around the city, aren't they?
I don't think they're named Turner anymore. Okay. I think they've been sold. They're under different. I don't know if they're under the Warner name.
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
But that billboard that was in center field that would change every time, the number would change every time he hit a home run, was a Turner billboard, which were all over the freeways at the time, all the billboards.
Oh, yeah. When I came here, I always wondered
Ted Turner. It was the billboard business. You know, that's what he got, sports communications, from his father. He changed it into what it became, you know, as far as
television.
When did
he have time to go around sailing boats? I mean, for all the work he did here in the city, when you think about it, I'm going to take a second. Building a 24-hour network, doing all the other things that you have talked about, and this is in the 70s, and yet finding time to become a yachtsman to the point where he can win the America's Cup.
Yeah.
Come on. How the hell you do that? You know, how do you do that? Yeah. I'm waiting for the movie on this dude. They better get it right.
I need a Ted Turner movie bad. Because y'all heard about the story where he wanted to fight Rupert Murdoch for running into his boat?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that. It was at a boat competition.
There's all kind of things. And, you know, we talked about him making a deal for that sound effect from Rupert Runner. I'm surprised he didn't try to buy him.
Because that's what he used to do. He used to buy everything he wanted. Like, if he wanted a little piece of something, he'd just buy all of it.
He almost bought CBS.
CBS. I remember that was that was a deal, too.
Crazy.
The dude, if life was, if business was NASCAR, he would be A.J. Foyt.
Yep.
Or racing. Yep. He'd walk up to somebody and just punch him in the face. Give me that.
No. But so, and that recalls for the time, because this was pre-Ted Turner buying the team when Hank Aaron did this. But like I said, his presence was already in the stadium.
So let me ask you then, who had TBS? What were the Braves
there,
on
there
prior
TBS,
to?
They
that's
just,
what I'm saying.
They were just syndicated local station. I think our folks up the street started out doing them. I think SB started out doing the games, and I think they gradually got over to WTTG, what it was before the initial, which came to WTBS. Yep.
So what changed? I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around. When it's the 70s and nobody else.
All games were not televised back then. Remember?
Well, that I understand. But no, I'm
all
just.
All games were not televised. It was, you know, when a game was on, it was a special deal still in the 70s. This was a network telecast. Okay. I think NBC, whoever had the baseball contract at the time, I think it was NBC, they had the contract to televise it. They did the game of the week on Saturday, the Kurt Gowdy, Tony Kupak, you know, baseball mm-hmm. game, one game a week that you would get to see nationally on Saturday afternoons. But this was a special nighttime edition because of what was happening, so it was a national broadcast.
And let's talk about the national story that surrounded that, in that he made it clear Bowie Kuhn, then commissioner, wasn't going to follow Hank Aaron around.
But also mandatory that he play in Cincinnati. Remember, the season started in Cincinnati, and they were thinking where they're going to sit. Because those first couple of games of the year, where Cincinnati has the oldest.
Exactly. Yeah, they always get the first game.
Braves went up there to play, and the thing was that they knew that Hank Aaron was a home run away from tying, two away from breaking, and would the team sit him out and not play him on the road to enhance the chances of him breaking the home run record in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Bowie Kuhn says, you will play. He told him that he would play in Cincinnati. And he went out and he hit 714 in Cincinnati.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, but the record breaker was done here in town.
If you've heard the interviews from Dusty, and he's done many, talking about being on the circle and watching that.
He's on his way. Try to have him on this morning, but he is in flight. You'll get here this afternoon for an event that's happening this evening.
You knew that, but they got phones on planes.
No. Man,
he ain't talking this early. I just remember him saying that Hank told him before he walked into the batter's box, I'm gonna get this nonsense over with. Yeah, I'm sick of this.
I'm in this thing,
and then went and did it.
The thing that got me was, and we'll talk, like I said, we're gonna talk in a few minutes about the number of people that were able to get on the field, you know, after it happened compared to today, you know, just to have that, you know, reporters and everybody, you know, because. There was a lot of folk on the field after
that. Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was.
Compared to what there would be in this day and time.
Do you still get a tingle when you see that replay and them two dudes run on the field?
Yeah.
I still do, man. I get a little tingle. Not that you know how it plays out, but it was just, they are a part of history. My hands beat, but it's almost like it wouldn't be the same if they weren't there.
But believe me, a lot of people collectively held their breath.
Yes, they did. Hank said the same thing.
Because they really didn't know what their intentions were, what they wanted to do, and they just wanted to run a few steps with him.
And Davey Lopes said that if he were closer, I've heard him say, he would have grabbed one of them. He was a second baseman. Mm-hmm. Now, you had Bill Russell at short. You had Ron Say.
Who both shook hands with Hank Aaron.
Yes, they did.
Yes, right, teammates,
and Jaeger at the plate. Well, Jaeger stuck his hand. I don't know if Hank saw it.
Got him, but yeah, they all did that, you know, as opponents. Because remember, at the time, the Braves moved here. The Dodgers were basically our biggest rival because we were in the West.
Guys were in the West playing in Atlanta.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I know, right? For years,
but that was the big rivalry game because the Braves still don't have a regional rival, and that's why I was saying they're having trouble with this ballpark out in Kansas City. Send them to Nashville. Send them to Nashville. Nashville is thinking and wanting to get Major League Baseball team. I think it would just be cool for Braves fans to have a regional rival. No, we don't have problems selling out our stadium, but just somewhere they come down here, a bunch of us ride up there and take their stadium over. That'll be great. I mean, and Braves fans have never had an opportunity to do that type thing. They haven't. Because there's no stadium that's close by. Now, collectively, Braves fans are everywhere because of the Superstation.
That's the part I'm trying to wrap my mind around, how you go about doing that. And he had to reach in his pocket because the only other Superstation, and I knew two of them, WOR out of New York, mm-hmm. and then WGN here in Chicago. They're in Chicago. Well, and how do you become that without being in those big type cities? Well, TBS here in Atlanta. Atlanta wasn't Atlanta then.
Yeah.
And yet Ted Turner got this Superstation up and running. Now, I realize it was a few years before he got CNN.
Right.
And the 24-hour network.
Which is something else people are like, well, hey.
I mean, really.
Who gonna watch that? Right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know what he would do? They would replay the game each night, mm-hmm. you know, win or lose. And, you know, there were some rough seasons. But that's what he had the rights to broadcast. So it gave him content for his 24-hour. You know, for the Superstation.
Was it Bernard Shaw who kicked things off for him?
Oh,
or was it Max Robinson?
Oh, Max Robinson.
He was on NBC. That's right. He was
ABC.
Yeah.
As far as CNN goes.
Yeah, CNN. I thought that was one of those.
I don't remember who
Bernard Shaw was one of them.
The original plan. You know, the original plan for CNN was a teletype machine in front of a camera.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't even supposed to be a
person. I ain't heard that before.
It wasn't even going to be a person. It was going to be a teletype machine. Tick, 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 tick. And it just so the people could watch and read what, I guess, AP or whoever the news gathering source was and read the things that were happening as they were happening. And somebody said, well, wait a minute. We can put somebody with a camera and they can read it. But that's...
This is a wealth of information. I didn't know that.
That was the original idea.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to talk to a Braves all-time great coming up next, Ralph Garr. Want to remind you, though, because this is a day where college basketball is on the front minds of a lot of sports fans, and if you can get in front of a TV, we have got the Women's National Championship game. Pre-tip at 2:30, tip at 3. As far as the men, we got you covered there, too, tomorrow. We got the pregame show airing at 6:30. The pre-tip is at 7:30, and, of course, tip-off at 9 o'clock right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Are you ready for this?
1974.
Chaka.
Your homegirl.
Yeah.
She just had a birthday.
Not too long ago.
Yeah. Your home folks from Chicago.
Yeah, she's a South Sider. I'm a West Sider. But that's okay. I'd make the trip. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9thegame. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the 7th day of April, and I want to, if I need to apologize, I wanted the Looney Tunes, but Noel made an executive decision, and I just hope that he isn't sick of hearing this over the years, but we just wanted to give him a proper intro as we welcome in former Brave, a friend of the show, and haven't talked to you in a while, but we always look forward to bringing you on the show, Ralph Garr. Last time I saw Mr. Ralph,
yes, sir.
Mr. Ralph was at a fantasy camp.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
But he's been in town since then. You were in town not too long ago for the annual game with Florida A&M and Grambling, right?
Yeah, the Ralph Garr Bill Lucas Classic here that the Braves sponsored. The Braves have been wonderful in promoting baseball among HBCUs. And so they do a lot of good things. And they've been at it for the last 4 years. And that's a good thing.
Ralph, how often do you get a chance to do what we're doing today, meaning talk about your time on the Braves with Hank Aaron and this special home run that he hit?
Well, it's history, and everybody think about it, and everybody talk about it, and I was there when it happened, so I just thank God for being a part of it. Hank Aaron's blueprint is all over the Braves organization. If I'm not mistaken, I think Hank Aaron gave Brian Snitker his job. He gave me my job. So Hank is still, Blue Prince is still on the Brave organization in every way. And it's wonderful. And Mr. Anthopoulos and Mr. Schilling and Mr. McGurk and the Brave organization do a wonderful job at promoting all of Hank Aaron's successes in baseball. And as you know, Henry was a marvelous ball player, and even a better human being.
Yeah, folks, we are pleased to be spending some time with someone who was there April 8, 1974, when history was made at Atlanta Stadium here in town, and Ralph Garr, number 48, was there on the field. What do you recall from the time leading up to that night? I know that the commissioner demanded that Hank play in Cincinnati. And a lot of people thought that maybe he would sit those games out to make sure that he would break the record here in Atlanta. But what was it like for you as a teammate, those days, because it was early in the season, leading up to this magical night in Atlanta?
Well, everybody looked like everybody wanted to be a big hoo-ah. Hank Aaron wasn't a big hoo-ah guy. He lived his life the way he played the game. You know what I'm saying? He was serious about the game of baseball. And when he come to the ballpark, he was serious about being a teammate. He wasn't out there trying to shine all the light on himself or breaking Babe Ruth records. Records are made to be broken. We had to thank God that he was able to do it. But he didn't bring no drama in the clubhouse. I'm going to break Babe Ruth's record today. Do this. He didn't do none of that. He just came in, got himself ready like he always do, and went out there and broke the record like he said. That night he's going to try to get it over so we can go try to win as many games as we can for the Braves. You're about to win a game for the Atlanta Braves organization.
That was fantastic that night. You on the field, and once he hits it, you were one of the first people there at home plate, if I remember correctly. You guys kind of lifted him up when he did you plan to do that? What did you – you know, I'm sure you had thought of a lot of things you wanted to do, but then the moment actually came, right?
No, I didn't do no whole lot of things. Everybody was happy. Every player on the team felt the same way I did. Hank had some wonderful teammates. Henry was a great teammate. So all the guys were very happy that he was getting a chance to break the record. And when he broke it, everybody just was overjoyed and happy. So they all ran up there and hugged him and everything. And that was wonderful. And so it wasn't really – it was a special happening, but – Henry Aaron broke the record, and like I said, Dusty and all every player on the team, Nico and all Tom Howard, all the wonderful guys were very happy that he had broke the record, and they were just as happy as I was.
Again, Ralph Garr joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, Sam, to the point that Ralph was talking about, Hank wasn't about promotion and all of that stuff. I always remember him saying when he talked about his contemporaries, and he would say very calmly, he said, I could do the same thing Willie Mays did. I just did it without my hat flying off. You know, he just wasn't about fancy stuff. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, Ralph, was you talk about the other teammates and how you guys all felt about him. But was there something a little extra with the manager? Your manager played with Hank when he first got in the league, Eddie Matthews, and what that relationship was like. And I'm sure he was very protective of people coming up to Hank on a regular basis.
Well, you know, Eddie Matthews was known as a great ball player and everything. And, you know, he didn't play. Eddie Matthews, you know, he was known as a physical-type ball player, too. He wasn't known as a good baseball player. He would fight, too. So, you know, Eddie Matthews was Hank's teammate, and they were very good friends. And, you know, he was very protective of Hank, too. So nobody didn't really bother Hank with Eddie Matthews around because he didn't play none of that. He was a marvelous teammate, too. So they were on the same team, and you know that Eddie was going to look out for him as much as he could. And so him and Hank had a good understanding, and it was good for that situation at that time.
Yeah. Thoughts about the attention that it and what it brought for the city of Atlanta. It was big for him and big for the Braves as a team and an organization. But it's 1974 in Atlanta, Georgia. Talk about what it brought for the city.
It brought everything to Atlanta. As you know, I think the Braves moved to Atlanta in 1966. Mm-hmm. And then I was drafted out of Grambling State University in 1967. So I was sort of one of the foundation as far as the Braves organization here in Atlanta. And then for me to have signed a contract with the Atlanta Braves and Hank Aaron on the team, oh, I thank God I was fighting hard because I wanted to try to get to the major league and play with Henry Aaron. And thank God I did. And as you know, it's all history now. And I was able to play and do good and able to get to the big league and play with Henry Aaron and even room with him. And Dusty Baker and I were just, it's no way to explain how good he was to all of us and Dale Levin and all the wonderful players on the team. He treated everybody the same every day, and he would help anybody at any time. And like I said, I just keep saying it over and over, he was a marvelous teammate and a great human being.
Ralph, is there something, whether it was personal or on the field, that you just cherish that Hank gave you?
Well, when I first got to the Major League, well, Hank, you know, he sit down and talk to me. He said, well, son, I'm going to tell you this here. Whatever you was doing when they signed you and that's what got you here, he said, that's what's going to keep you here. He said, now, let me tell you this one thing I want to say. Now, you work on your weaknesses, but don't mess around and weaken your strength by fooling with your weaknesses. Stay strong in your strength and work partially on your weaknesses, and you'll get better every day. And then he led by example. He didn't have to tell you nothing there. You just watched the way he went by playing the game of baseball, and you would really learn. Dusty and I used to sit on the bench side by side and watch him play the game of baseball. And Henry, and I don't want to try to blow it up much, but he could play a whole year just about and never make a mistake. He never did throw to the wrong base, run to the wrong base, miss the cutoff man, pop up to the catch. He didn't do none of the average thing that people do. He didn't make a whole lot of unnecessary mistakes on the field. Everything he did was try to help put his team in a good position to win the ball game.
Ralph Gard joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sir, I have given you credit for a story that I have told over the air for years and years and years, ever since I met you at one of the Braves fantasy camps. And you sat down with a couple of us and you told a story about when you guys were playing early on in your career, and there was a young player, didn't mention the name, but there was a young player mouthing off in the locker room. Everybody was in the locker room, didn't know if it was post-game or pre-game, but doesn't matter. A young guy was running his mouth and acting all a fool in the locker room. And you told this story about how Hank didn't really talk when he was in the locker room. He just got himself prepared for the game. But this kid was driving everybody crazy. And he said in a very calm voice, Hank Aaron, that is, as you told this story, young man. He said, when Hank Aaron said, young man, the whole locker room got quiet. And you said that Hank said to this kid, young man, you know, the only thing worse than being wrong is being loud and wrong. I have never forgotten that, and I have told that story, giving you credit for it, but putting it on Hank Aaron. What was it like? Go ahead.
That's true, though. He said, ain't nothing like being loud and wrong. Yes.
What does it mean to come back to town tomorrow, really this evening, and tomorrow will be a time of celebration, a time of reflecting? You're going to see old teams.
Really, I came here on Friday, and these Atlanta Braves is making you feel proud the way they fought back in the last two games. I came in there Friday. They were down. They come back and win. And then they came back Saturday. They were down, and they came back and win. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, these kids really enjoy being a part of the Atlanta Braves organization. And for Hank Aaron to have done what he did, these Atlanta Braves work hard and let them know how much they appreciate the work that Hank Aaron did in the Braves organization and setting the final foundation for them to come here and play baseball. And it's just a wonderful feeling to sit here and watch them do that. And I'm looking forward to them winning another game today.
We're looking forward to seeing them doing too. Boy, they came back last night. That was amazing. You're going to be a part of a number of things at the Atlanta History Center tomorrow. They're going to unveil an exhibit there in honor of Mr. Aaron, More Than Brave. Are you going to be on hand for that? And I think there are a number of events tomorrow and the baseball game tomorrow night. Your thoughts about getting a chance to be a part of these ceremonies and these events that mark this occasion?
Well, like I tell Hank Aaron, I tell him all the time, I told Hank while they was watching you, I was able to win the National League batting title. I said, you always looking out for me. And he's up in heaven right now. He's still looking out for me. Like I said, I think he gave me my job and Brian Snicker, and we're still here with the Braves organization. And that's what I'm telling you about Mr. Antopoulos and Mr. Schilling and Mr. McGurk and the Atlanta Braves organization, how good they are about promoting Henry Aaron's success as the Braves all in the Braves organization and all the things that they do. Like I said, too, they promoted, and Bill Lucas was the first black general manager, mm-hmm. and that's what they had to wrap up, Bill Lucas, classics for HBCU. You can't say enough about what the Braves do to promote all those wonderful things. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing I want to ask you, though, they've shortened up the base paths and got those big bases that make most of them. Do you ever look at that and say, boy, if they had done that for me? What do you think about those base paths and those big bases right now?
I just thank God for all the things this do. Baseball has changed a little bit the way they do things, mm-hmm. but baseball is still baseball. It takes a good, strong, good baseball player to play the game of base. No matter what they say or do, you're going to have to be able to hit, run, and throw, and pitch in order to win. And things hadn't changed for that. And I don't really, people ask me a whole lot to say, would you like to be playing ball now? No, I wouldn't take nothing for the experience of playing with Henry Aaron mm-hmm. and watching Henry Aaron and Pete Rose and Dick Allen and Willie Mays
yeah.
and all those guys, Billy Williams, watching all those guys play baseball. I wouldn't take nothing for my experience of playing baseball and watching them play. And I'm glad to be a part of that. And I'm not jealous of anything in modern baseball. I'm just proud to be a part of it.
I love this man even more now. He just brought up Sweet Swinging Billy Williams. Man, number 20, number 26.
And well, if you look back, I think it was 1972, he won the batting title.
Yes, he did.
And mm-hmm. Dusty Baker was, I was second and he was third. So all three of us, Billy Williams, Ralph Gordon, Dusty Baker, look up 1972 batting champion.
We'll do, sir.
We'll do it.
God bless you, Ralph Gar.
We thank you for spending some time with us. Always great to have you in this city. Enjoy the celebrations. And let's get that third win today over Arizona. Let's get that win today.
We thank y'all so much for y'all work, and thank you for having me on. And y'all have a wonderful day, and God bless. Thanks.
All right. Same to you, Ralph Gar. Yeah, you go.
Just make you smile.
Yeah, man.
Man. We're going to wrap things up. Hey, we're going to have an audible here. It is not Miss Tricky. It is Abe is coming up. Actually, Abe's going to come and talk to us here in a little bit, too.
Cool.
Get his thoughts on stuff here. It is Sam and Greg on this. And I have something before we shut things down I need to say.
Okay.
So I will have that in the next segment. Sam and Greg.
Billy Preston.
That's right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Big wheels, come on turning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, April 7th. Let me get a couple pieces of business out of the way. I want to remind you that they got next. We're going to have a fresh one starting next week, but if you have a 13-year-old in your family or on your team or whatever, we want to hear from you if that kid can do a sports report. 1 minute, minute and a half tops. They got next, and it is something that has just taken off. And so you go to our website, 92.9thegame.com, click on contest, and you will see the form to fill out. And somebody from the station will get in touch with you. And like I said, 13 and under. I don't want to make it any harder than that. The kid can write whatever he wants to do. Keep it under minute and a half. And we're giving you the ability to do up to 10 shout-outs afterwards.
10 shout-outs.
Up to 10
That's a
shout-outs.
Lot. That's
well,
a lot.
You know, if they want to mention their, you know, their other teammates, something like that, or some classmates.
Or a teacher or something.
Yeah, and there's some kids got a lot of relatives and want to be mentioned on the radio.
There you go. Because you don't want to leave out the relatives that are going to tune in specifically to hear you, and then you're going to leave them out?
Exactly.
That's not good.
Abe, he's joining us right now. Where'd you grow up at? What city? Did you grow up here in Atlanta?
Dunwoody.
Okay. We were talking about this earlier with this segment. If you were 11 years old, when you were 11 years old, who in Atlanta would you have loved to have been on the radio with?
Like who was hosting?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying, because this kid's going to be on the radio. If I was ever on the radio, man, it was like back in the day. So, yeah, whoever, whether it was a music station or whether it was a talk station, who's that DJ that you remember at 11, 12, somewhere in there?
I mean, this is like a corny white guy answer, but like Steve and Vicky way back in the day.
Ooh.
Okay.
They were
the leaders.
That was who we had to listen to on the way to work. Once I got a little bit older, I did slide over and start listening to V103 on my own. But like as a kid,
yeah.
it was Star 94.
If Steve and Vicky put you on to talk about your soccer team or your baseball team, that would have been a big deal for you.
Did Steve and Vicky know sports? I don't know.
What was his name? God, I'm going to pull this out of my you-know-what. Tom Sullivan was his producer. He might have known sports.
All right. We all get real excited speaking with producers. I know from experience.
Yeah.
Listen, man, we have been spending these last couple hours talking about the historic home run, Hank Aaron, 1974, the 715, and the stuff that surrounded it. And you know what we forgot to ask Ralph Gar? He was here when that fight took place, the Ali fight, and the movie that's now being made about it, and wonder what his thoughts would have been on it. But
it was a big moment. I mean, that was the other big moment in sports that it took place. And obviously, Hank Aaron's chase eclipsed that. But mm-hmm. that was another event that made the world look at Atlanta for something that was out of the ordinary. Obviously, having a heavyweight fight in Atlanta, that's a rare thing. But they have this event, and we thank Bob Hope for joining us this morning. 400 media requests that day. You know, and everybody won't talk to one person.
That's it.
you know.
The guy who doesn't like talking that much, too.
Right, right. So, I mean, that's the magnitude of it.
As we have Hank Aben here, and before you get into the story, I would like you, Sam, because we haven't done it yet. And while Abe's here, to share that story about the Dodgers when they came here. You were telling me earlier in the show about them being the first when they played
here. Tomorrow is the date, obviously, the 50 years ago that Hank Aaron, you know, broke the Babe Ruth record with the 750th home run. But it was 25 years earlier to the same date that the first integrated professional baseball game was played, not only in Atlanta but deep south. Jackie Robinson and Roy Campanella's Brooklyn Dodgers came to town.
Came here.
And played out at Ponce de Leon Park. Which I don't know if you ever seen any pictures of Ponce de Leon Park. They had trees inside the fence.
What? Is that like the elevated center field that had old Crosley Field?
Absolutely. You had trees out there, you know, and one of the trees, I think, is still standing on the backside of the shopping area over there. So, I mean, that's what, you know, Ponce de Leon Park, where they played back then. But 25 years after that would be the time that Hank Aaron hit the big home run. I want to remind people that Atlanta History Center is opening an exhibit. If you're a member of the Atlanta History Center, you can go this evening. It's called More Than Brave. It's a tribute to Hank Aaron that will open for the public on Tuesday. They're going to have a ribbon cutting tomorrow. And that's Ralph Garr and Dusty Baker, Tom House, Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner, all coming into town for the opening of this exhibit. And, of course, they're going to go to the game tomorrow night. Western Braves play the Mets. But this exhibit will be open through next summer when the All-Star game comes to Atlanta. So you have that time to go to Atlanta History Center. See lots of interesting photos, a lot of interesting things about, you know, Hank Aaron that have been assembled. Like I said, a photo of he and Chadwick Boseman together. As you know,
that could go in Hall of Fame right now, don't you think, Abe? You know, those two, given what Chadwick did, you know, in the movie, but the two of them in the Baseball Hall of Fame, were there? Because I'm sure there's pictures from the movie industry in the Hall of Fame. I've never been. Have you been there?
I went last year.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I went last summer. My first time. Yeah, there's space. They can make it work. There's some.
They got room.
A lot of empty rooms over there.
They got room for more. Really?
They change out the exhibits and do. You know, they were doing a big Latin American influence when I was up there. I don't know how permanent that is, but yeah. They have a baseball in Hollywood type of.
They do.
They have some areas of.
Okay.
Well, I mean, some of the great baseball films, and 42 in that discussion.
You got to take a couple on a desert island with you. What's your baseball movies?
A baseball movies?
Yeah.
Oi. The Sandlot.
That's his Noel
Pitt. We're young. It's a young thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Major League. I like to laugh. So, like, if I'm going to be stuck, it needs to be something rewatchable.
Right.
And Major League, you can just pop that on there. And Field of Dreams always special, too.
Okay. Abe's joined us here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'll leave it up to you. We've been talking about Hank Aaron and the home run and all that. If you have any thoughts, you know, obviously it'd be from your elders and your family or anything that you want to get off your chest. Or let's talk about this current Braves team. And not giving away too much of what you're going to talk about on your show, Noel came in here and told everybody to calm down, relax. It's April. Spencer Strider may be out, but don't hang on the negative. These guys are going to right the ship and look how they come back in the later innings and blah, blah, blah. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, remind me how that worked the last two postseasons.
Have
that offense look in the playoffs against just checking.
You bring them along.
Sure, you're going to come back from down six against the Phillies in October. Is that no? I for a large portion, I do agree. I mean, look, I'm just going to say this, and I'm almost as equally as concerned about Max Fried and what's going on there as I am with Spencer Strider. I will say this though, and it's a lot deeper discussion that we are going to have here because I'm on until 2:30. We got plenty of time to have it. But you won a World Series without Ronald Acuña Jr. What's to say you can't win it without Spencer Strider?
Yep.
So we're going to try and stay optimistic.
You stay optimistic because you see the way this team fights late. And that's the thing.
The past 2 days have been a perfect example of why things can be held together.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, like, it's going to come down to Alex Anthopoulos, and we're going to put the pressure on him for the next couple of months if this is a serious injury that, hey, we're not looking at fringe pieces at the deadline. We're not looking at shoring up a bullpen. Go get that dude. That's what it's going to be about. I think we know what window we're in. No more of this playing by the fringes. Go get that dude. I don't care who it is.
What, if anything, does this do to the Fried situation?
You mean from a contract standpoint?
Yeah.
Look, there's a number for him. I'm a lot more, again, I believe a lot more than a lot of people that he actually is still going to be here. I do think they're going to find some money. I don't know if the reports were true about the Wheeler thing and if they made a serious offer or not. But if they did, that makes me believe they're going to make a serious offer to Freed. Now, he's got to do better than he's done the first two starts here. I think that's, you know, we got to figure that out. But
what's going on?
I don't think Strider's injury affects whether or not the Braves decide to pay or not pay Max Freed. I don't.
What about the experiment? At some point, you're going to see it. And I don't know how I'm going to feel about it, but Ozuna in first base.
Is he still hitting four home runs in seven games and bases clearing doubles? And, like, what are we doing with that? I mean, as long as he's not at first base also hitting 112, then we're okay.
We're okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's important. That's very important.
He's a major leaguer. He won a gold glove. I know we're very far removed from when he won a gold glove. All we now think about is him running up a wall. The ball's nowhere near him. But
yeah.
He was an athlete. He still is an athlete. First base, look, is he going to have the great stretch across to beat up?
He
maybe
won't remind
not.
Us of Freddie Freeman. Is
but,
that what you're saying?
But come on. Like, he can field. I mean, come on. Bryce Harper can do it. Mookie Betts is moving all over the infield. I think let's give him a little bit of an opportunity there. He'll be all right.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, man, we got to get your thoughts. Just dip your toe a little bit. I don't want to take too much from your show. Are you looking forward to, if you get a chance, to watch some of this game today, the ladies' final in college basketball?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing about me, and I'm going to bring the audience into it a little bit. My sister watches more women's college basketball than anyone I know. So I had her record for me a 90-second preview on her thoughts. But because I'm always talking about her with what's going on with the women's game, I've been pretty locked in all season, and not just to Caitlin Clark. So I'm glad this is the match. Look, I think we got the best matchup possible in the men's game. I do think we got the best matchup, at least in terms of brands, in the women's game. Now we have to see if it's a good game, which is probably for a lot of people going to be a little bit jarring to watch because it might not be. But we'll see. I mean, look, what has South Carolina learned is the question.
Why wouldn't it be a good game, though?
South Carolina. With
one team's the best team and one has the best player. The question is, what has South Carolina learned from their four-point loss a year ago? They gave up 41 points to Caitlin Clark last year. And we saw how UConn defended her 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And if South Carolina is going to defend Caitlin Clark like UConn did, it's going to be a real problem because Stolke, who had 20-something points, is not going to be able to do that against South. It's just a bad matchup everywhere. And the only way Iowa wins is if Caitlin Clark does Caitlin Clark things. And that's going to be the question, is does she go unconscious? She really hasn't been crazy for a couple of games now. Certainly wasn't against UConn. So
yeah. She was pretty impressive against LSU.
She's been impressive,
second
but not
half.
Not right. Second
half. But then Angel Reese, you know, she twisted her ankle, so she wasn't that person. But as far as her shooting, she went, you know, ballistic there in that third quarter.
But yeah, I'll be absolutely locked in on that game.
You know what you said about, you know, to answer Sam's question, that you got the best player against the best team. You could say that about the men's too, but yet you don't feel like that matchup is going to be as close.
I think there are a lot, and I assume you're talking about the best team, UConn,
the
best
UConn,
player,
yes.
Edie.
Yes.
I think there are a lot more difference makers on Purdue, especially Braden Smith and some of the guard play. I think there's a lot more difference makers for them than what Iowa has against South Carolina. And also, I don't think the bridge is that far from where Purdue and UConn are to where Iowa and South Carolina is.
All right. And speaking of these matchups, we have got the ladies' final today. Pre-tip at 2:30, tip at 3 o'clock. And then tomorrow, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got the national championship.
Set your alarm, take a nap before that game, and tip till 9:20.
Yep.
It's 6:30 airtime, pre-tip at 7:30, tip at 9.
And you got to stay up in one shining moment. That's like 12:30.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. You have to.
I guarantee I won't. It could be 11:40 at night.
Or later.
I can kick rocks for the extra 4 minutes. They'll put it on Twitter for the next morning.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to think. No, I was looking at my stuff here, and
can't
I got
read the handwriting.
I got something I gotta do, and we got all this stuff
here. You got your dump.
Lady Holiday's birthday would have been today. I want to get this insignificant information. Billie Holiday.
Oh, Billie, you said Lady Holiday.
Lady Day, sorry.
Lady Day.
Billie Holiday, Percy Faith. A guy who was probably one of the most powerful people in this country at the time being. That's when columnists and journalists, like Ed Sullivan started off that way, and he was like one of the most, Walter Winchell.
Yeah.
Look that name up. This guy ran things. Alan Dulles, you get an airport named after you. I mentioned you. And Will Keith Kellogg would have been his birthday today.
Really? What are you having for breakfast?
Exactly.
Wow.
There you go. Insignificant information. Noel. I thought you were going to hit the sounder first, but there you go. That's okay. She's got the song on that I wanted.
Okay.
That's okay. Do you mind if I do this? I want to thank you for everything you did and getting everybody today for the show.
Yeah.
Noel, I want to thank you. Bring it down just a little bit. You ever heard of a guy named Howard W. Hunter, Sam?
Now, where would Howard, I know that name?
Howard W. Hunter. He's a writer.
Okay.
He wrote something.
Okay.
I got to get through this.
Okay.
He wrote, "Motherhood is near divinity. It is the highest, holiest service to be assumed by mankind." Let me say that again.
Believe that.
Motherhood is near to divinity. It is the highest, holiest service to be assumed by mankind. April 7th would have been my mother's birthday.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Thelma,
yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mama.
Happy birthday, Mama.
Abe, you're up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.